Hello and welcome to the SearchSecurity.com Secure Reads podcast. Joining us for this edition is Joel Dubin, CISSP, independent security consultant and author. Joel will be reading Chapter 5, Taking Care of Physical Security, from his book, The Little Black Book of Computer Security. Thank you for joining us today, Joel.
Let's say that you've completed assessing your IT assets and distributed your security policy. You know what assets to protect, the value of those assets, and how you will protect the assets. However, before you can lower your drawbridge to any invited guests, you need to secure the castle structure itself. Physically securing the work environment provides the first defense of your IT territory. Yet, too many system administrators leave the door open, literally, while concentrating on the more enticing technical fixes. The problem is that anyone, even the most inept hacker, can break into any computer that is physically accessible. For example, no password protection exists on Microsoft Windows 98. An attacker would simply click the cancel button on the logon screen to gain entry. Although this might be an extreme example, think about this. If someone has physical access to a facility and a computer is not bolted down, the easiest way to hack it is to steal it. After the thief has reached a safe location, he or she can play with the computer to gain access by using any number of tools that are freely available on the internet. The thief can even remove the hard drive and then use the tools to retrieve the data from it. You might think that password protecting the BIOS would prevent the thief from being able to gain access to the operating system. After all, the thief could not boot from any drive without knowledge of that password. Well, forget about it. An attacker can bypass any BIOS security and boot up the operating system simply by using a screwdriver. So how do you physically protect your computer systems? To begin to do so, go through the following checklist. 1. Data center location. 1.1. If the data center is located in a densely populated urban area, make sure that the building is unmarked and not easily noticed. 1.1.1. Otherwise, surround the building with a fence that is 8 feet high and topped with barbed wire. 1.2. If possible, locate the data center in its own freestanding building. This way, the data center is isolated from people that might casually walk in. 1.2.1. If a separate building is not possible, locate the data center on a floor other than the first floor so that it is not easily accessible. 1.2.1.1. If you locate the data center in the basement, provide for adequate flood protection. 1.3. Construct the building or portion of the building that contains the data center to be either windowless or have frosted and barred windows. 2. Computer rooms, 2.1. Lock all doors to these rooms, 2.2. Tuck all network cabling, punch boards, and junction boxes out of sight, 2.2.1. Either behind walls, under floors, or above drop ceilings, 2.3. Secure the assets in these rooms in accordance with their rankings from your risk assessment. 2.3.1. Secure more valuable assets more securely. 2.4. Provide only a single access point, such as one door, so that the entrance can be controlled. 2.4.1. Employ one or more access control methods, making sure that the level of control is commensurate with the assessment rankings. 2.4.1.1. Pass cards with magnetic stripes in their readers. 2.4.1.2. Electronic locks that require PIN numbers. 2.4.1.3. Double doors, man traps, or turnstiles. 2.4.1.3.1. To prevent piggybacking, have someone guard or watch the entrance. 2.4.1.4. Surveillance cameras. 2.4.1.5. Biometric systems. 2.4.1.6. Human security guards and possibly watchdogs. 2.5. If you have drop ceilings, make sure that the walls extend above them to the actual room ceilings. 2.5.1. Drop ceilings with low walls can easily be scaled from neighboring offices. 2.6. Provide adequate protection against electrical fires, which are likely to affect computer equipment. 3. Individual workstations. 3.1. To prevent physical theft, use cables to attach all workstations to the walls or the floor. 3.2. Make sure that workstations are free of sticky notes, or any notes for that matter, that have passwords written on them. 3.3. Place workstations so that the monitors are not visible from exterior windows. 3.3.1. A well-placed telescope in a neighboring office can allow a hacker to sift passwords or other data from the screen of an employee at work. It happens. 3.4, encourage users to lock their workstations whenever they walk away, be it for the day or even a quick break. To do so, users can click the Lock the Desktop icon on the Linux taskbar, for example. 3.5, set a BIOS password. 3.5.1, even though a BIOS password can be breached, it could be the one thing that causes an attacker to move on. Important, passwords should never be written down under any circumstances. Doing so is the equivalent of leaving the key under the doormat. 4, people flow. 4.1, make sure that each authorized employee has a company-issued picture ID badge. 4.1.1, make sure that employees are required to wear these badges at all times when on company property. 4.1.2, color code the badges based on department or job function so that it's clear who is authorized to access different areas. 4.2, issue strict guidelines to vendors and consultants who are on long-term assignments regarding what they can access and provide them with badges that identify them as having limited privileges. 4.3, verify that each visitor has an appointment with an employee. Provide each such a visitor with a temporary badge that indicates, quote, visitor, unquote, status, and escort visitors at all times when they are on company premises. 4.4, check with vendors regarding unannounced changes in delivery schedules or personnel. 4.4.1, why is a different UPS driver coming at such an odd hour today? 4.4.2, who is that new person on the night cleaning crew? And why is he or she snooping around a workstation instead of dusting the desk? 5, data destruction. 5.1, locate paper shredders so that they are accessible to employees at all levels. 5.2, purchase shredders that confetti cut documents or that cut along cross diagonal lines. 5.2.1, technology is available for reassembling documents that were shredded into long, thin, straight strips by traditional shredders. 5.3, destroy all CDs, which are optical media, by physically destroying them, shredding, scratching, or cutting into pieces. 5.4, destroy all magnetic media by degaussing, demagnetizing, zeroing out, or physically destroying them. 5.4.1, floppy disks. 5.4.2, hard drives. 5.4.3, tape reels. 5.4.4, zip disks. 5.4.5, USB cards. Important. If you simply format a piece of magnetic media and then toss it in the garbage, a hacker can use tools that are freely available on the internet to retrieve data, password files, and more. These are the same tools that computer forensics experts use to scan employees' disk drives for unauthorized files, pornography, confidential company memos, and so on. 6, garbage. 6.1, practice safe disposal, which means destroying all data before tossing in the garbage. 6.2, place your garbage bins in locked and secured areas. 6.3, allow only authorized employees and chosen vendors to have access to your garbage areas. Important, the fine art of dumpster diving is a hacker classic. The garbage can contain endless riches, such as discarded passwords, lists of employee names with company IDs, and other seemingly unimportant information that a clever social engineer can weave into a tale to gain access to your...
Thank you, Joel. That concludes this installment of Secure Reads. To download this book chapter and many more, visit our information security bookshelf at www.searchsecurity.com/bookshelf.